shake.
In the third reading of Parshas Bo, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are back at the Pharaoh. Darkness has ended, or so it seems. Vayikra Farei El Moshe, the Pharaoh calls to Moshe, Vayemer, he says, L'chu Yivdu Es Hashem. Okay, you go. You serve your God. Rak Tzeinchem Uvkarchem, but your sheep and your cattle, Yutzog, they stay right here. Gam Tapchem Yelechimachem. I understand you want the children. Actually, I don't understand, but that's what you want. Fine. Okay, the children can go. But your animals, they stay right here. Now, many say that this happened on the 13th day of Adar. And that's because we always had a month, right? We had like 3 weeks of warning and then the actual plague, which went on for a month. But this plague doesn't go for a month. This plague only goes for one night, the plague of the firstborn. And if it was on the 13th day of Adar, that would be on the 6th day of Cheshach. How did the Pharaoh send messages? If they couldn't move, how did they get to Moshe? So I don't know the answer to that. But I could tell you that the Ibn Ezra has a different take on this. He says that this was 3 days after darkness had ended and light returned. So he says 3 days later, that's when the Pharaoh finally got the courage, mustered the courage to call Moshe and to try to renegotiate. Which this makes a lot of sense, actually. If we say that, it makes a lot of sense because the Pharaoh would have no time, no ability, really, to call Moshe during the other time. And it also explains something else. With the other Makos, the Pharaoh said, please, for heaven's sake, get rid of it. I can't take it anymore. Here he doesn't say that. Here it doesn't say take away the Makos, so the Makos must have been gone. Or if not, if it was still dark, why wouldn't he say take away the darkness? Anyway, that's why the Ibn Ezra seems to be the very logical approach here. And the Pharaoh says, you can all go, but the animals can't. You leave the animals right here. Why did he want the animals? Rashi says, Yutzog means Yehei Mutzog. They should be standing firm. Bimekoyme, right here. Don't take them into the desert with you. Why would the Pharaoh care if the animals go for a vacation? So the Chizkuni says his intention was that the animals would be collateral. The Pharaoh wanted to make sure they're coming back. He never thought for a moment they were leaving and coming back. He said, once they leave, they're gone. So therefore, he said, at least if I have the animals, I know it's not a hostage, but it's at least it's collateral. That's the little bit of wealth that they have. They'll definitely not leave their wealth behind. And Ramban says this was the only wealth, a little bit of wealth that some Jews had was livestock. That was all they had. So if you could at least keep whatever they had behind, then you had a chance, he thought, of making sure they come back. Now, it's interesting. The Sif Sikranim says the Pharaoh was a big astrologer, a big like wizard and magician and all that. And he says he wanted to keep the sheep behind because the mazel, because the astrology or the sign of the month of Nisan is the sheep. So he said he figured that if as long as he could keep their actual sheep, he would use that in some way to control the people and they wouldn't be able to break free. But if they took their actual sheep, then mazel tov wouldn't be able to hold sway over them. I don't know what that means exactly, but that's what he says. Okay, the Pharaoh has made his offer. Moshe says, oh, no, that's not going to work. Not only are we taking our animals, gam ata titim biyadeinu, you're giving us too, zvachim ve'ilis, you're going to give us things which are brought as peace offerings and a scent offerings. V'asinu la'ashem elekeinu, and we will make this offering to the Lord our God. There's an interesting Medrash Seichel Tov that says, Gam says, not only you'll give us gifts, your wife's going to give us gifts too. The queen is also going to provide us with offerings. So basically, Moshe rules out the possibility of leaving the animals behind, and he goes to the extreme. He says, not only will we not leave our animals, we'll be taking your animals too. Now, the Ibn Ezra takes that at face value. He says, yes, that's what it means. It means that the Pharaoh would give Eilis his vachim, that the Jewish people would bring on his behalf. He takes it very much at face value. The if you look at Rashi says, "Gam ato titein loy dayecha." Not only will you give us permission, shemikneinu yelech imanu, that our livestock will go with us as we're asking, elagam mishalcha. You'll also be adding of yours titein. You'll give of yours. So according to Rashi, he just says, you're telling us you don't want to give us our animals, you'll be giving us animals. He doesn't go as far as the Ibn Ezra to say that we'll be bringing offerings on your behalf. And the truth is that all of this is problematic. It's problematic because how could they take an offering from a pharaoh? Why would they bring an offering from pharaoh? And therefore Ramban, he attacks this whole approach. He says, heaven forfend, he says, Moshe never intended to take offerings from a pharaoh? No, he says, how could you say that? This is just Moshe Rabbeinu of using a negotiating tactic. And you thought Donald Trump wrote that book. Moshe wrote it. He said, our animals you're talking, your animals are going to give us. Went all the way to the other extreme. This is said, Ramban says, B'derech Chayzik. He's making a strong point. That's what he says over here. She says that the hand of Hashem will be very heavy. We're going to need all the offerings we can get. And therefore, we have to bring all our animals. Because we don't know what Hashem is going to demand. You'll be giving us too, but he doesn't mean it literally. Abarbanel follows that approach of Ramban. And he goes even further. He says, even if you would give us animals, even as give us, which we have no interest in taking your animals, because how can we bring your animals as offerings? You're a wicked person. But even you'll want to give us. But again, it's just pushing the envelope. The Pharaoh said, the animals stay here. Moshe said, not only our animals don't stay here, your animals will want to go along. You'll want to participate. But Rashi doesn't seem necessary to say that. Rashi, you know, he says, no, not only animals, our animals will go, but rather, Mishalcha titen, you'll give yours as well. Now, since he doesn't say it will be brought on his behalf, like Ibn Ezra, it makes sense to say that once he gives it, it becomes the Jewish people's residual. So it will become our wealth. And you'll see this, in fact, has to be the case. And I think this is how Rashi would sidestep the question of Ramban and Abarbanel of how could they take an offering from a wicked person like the Pharaoh. So that's Moshe's response. And Moshe says, V'gam miknenu yelichimonu. Goes without saying, he says, that our livestock will go with us. Loisi sho'er parsa. Will not leave one hoof behind. Ki mimenu nikach, because from these animals we must take. Lavei des Hashem, to serve God, alikenu, our Lord. V'anachnu lei neda. And we don't know, ma navei des Hashem. We don't know what he's going to ask of us. Ad bayenu shama, until we get there. So we can't plan this out. We have to take everything that we possibly have, and we're not going to leave a single hoof behind. Rashi says parsa means parsas regel, the hoof of the animal. Planta balazi is a French word here. And his point is, it's this euphemism. We're not going to leave anything behind. Why not? Because leineda manavei. We know what kind of work, we know what kind of service God wants of us. He wants offerings. But what exactly he'll want from us? How intense will the request be? How heavy will God's demand upon us be? Maybe he's going to ask us for more than we have. So because we don't know, he might ask us for more than we have. We actually are required to take your animals too. And as such, you need to back down. Believe me, the Pharaoh is ready. At this point, he had very little fight left in him. But, verse 27, Vayechazek Hashem eslev parai. God strengthens the heart of the Pharaoh. V'le'ov v'le'shalchem. And he could not bring himself to send them free. Vayomer lo parai. The Pharaoh said in great frustration and anger, Lech me'oloi. Get out of my face. Leave from before here. He shomer lecha. He never speaks words to Moshe. He says, you watch yourself. He says, I'll taste it for ice pani. I never want to see your face again. Ki b'yeim re'eis chafonai, Thomas, the day you see my face again, you die. B'yeim re'Moshe. Moshe says, funny you should say that. Kein dibarta, well spoken. Lo yisifayid re'eis panecha. I will not be back to see you again. And of course, this is after the ninth plague. The last plague is Makas Becheiris, and next time Moshe will not be coming to see the Pharaoh. Instead, it is the Pharaoh in his pajamas who will be seeking out Moshe. Moshe will never again come. Now, the interesting thing is that Moshe never warned the Pharaoh about that tenth plague. He only warned him in the beginning. So what happens after this is that God begins immediately to speak to Moshe. And he says, there's going to be another plague that I bring upon the Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And after this plague, he will send you free. Don't you worry. And he interrupts and he says, now you have to go back, God says, and tell the people of Israel to borrow all of these gold and silver and so on and so forth. And the fourth reading begins with Moshe speaking to the Pharaoh, because the Pharaoh said, I never want to see your face again. Moshe said, yeah, that's fine. Just one more minute. I have one more thing to say to you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kachatzei Salayla, he says at the strike, as the clock strikes midnight, and Yetzer B'Sech Mitzrayim, God's going to come out of the middle of Mitzrayim, and he gives him the information of the final plague. Firstborn. So
before Moshe leaves the palace or whatever.
That is correct. That, before he leaves the palace.
Hashem speaks to him and then he's, before he leaves.
That's correct. That's correct. And the interesting thing is that usually God would speak to Moshe outside of the city.
Yeah.
Because the city was full of idols.
Right.
And Moshe would pray outside the city also. But this time God speaks to him right in the middle of the palace. In the height of the Pharaoh's power, surrounded by idols, God speaks to Moshe right there. Moshe gets the transmission in front of the Pharaoh and he tells the Pharaoh. Straight,
wow.
Live, direct news. Just got the download. He hands it to the Pharaoh, and he says to the Pharaoh, I will not be coming back. You're right. You're right. You, your servants, he says, he speaks respectfully. He says, your servants will be coming after me. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in a fury, in an anger, in a huff, turns and leaves the Pharaoh's palace. And never does he ever go back. This is the last time. So this testy little exchange between Moses and Pharaoh actually provokes a very big question. Besides the question of how could Moshe Rabbeinu take offerings from the Pharaoh, which we're going to see, it's not so difficult to answer. The much bigger question is that this entire exchange seems to reveal a fundamental issue, a fundamental problem, theologically speaking. What is that? So open up now to the Urim book, page Kuf Pei Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu says in the scripture, we don't know what God's going to want from us. We don't know what it's going to be. Rashi says, we don't know. We know what it's going to be. It's going to be offerings. You said all along it's going to be offerings. You're taking your animals because it'll be offerings. Now you contradict yourself. You don't know what he wants from us. Maybe you won't want animals at all. Moshe says, no. We know. We know what he wants from us. We just don't know how much of it. Kama tichbad. How heavy will the demands be? Maybe he'll ask us for more than we have. That's Rashi's words. Maybe he'll ask us for more than we have. This is a problem. Yesh Lisho. This question can be asked, and it is asked. The Maskal of David asks us, the Be'er HaSoda, and others ask this question. Ma Pesha Divri Moshe. What's the meaning? How do you understand Moshe's words? Shema Yishol Mimenu Yeser Mashiyesh Biyadeinu. This is the words, of course, that Rashi is putting into Moshe's mouth. Right? Moshe doesn't say this. He just says Leneda. Rashi explains the meaning of Leneda because that seems to be an outright contradiction. Moshe Rabbeinu has said multiple times that we need the animals because we're going to bring offerings, korbanot. Well, if we're going to bring korbanot, offerings, what do you mean Lenach, Leneda? You know exactly what it is. That's the argument you're making right now is send us the animals because we need the animals as offerings. Then you say, I don't know what we're doing. So Rashi is forced to explain, what does it mean Leneda? What don't we know? He says, we don't know quantity. We know what we have to do. We just don't know how much. And maybe God will ask us for more than we have. So what does that mean? Is it possible for us to entertain the idea that God would make a demand of the Jewish people, which should be davar she'ein be'efshirusam l'kayma? Can God make a demand of us that we can't fulfill? Think about this. This is a very important question. This is a huge theological issue. There are those who maintain that certain kinds of behavior, which today have become very popular, which the Torah outright says are sinful, well, what could you expect? People are born with proclivities and predispositions and desires. How could God ask of that? What's our answer? We don't have a scientific answer. We have a faith-based answer. We believe that what Hashem asks of people has to be possible. God does not make mission impossible. So how could it be? It's tough. It's tough. Well, I'm not here to judge anybody. It's very tough, and a lot of people will fail the test. But ultimately, if Hashem makes a demand, he has to give us the ability to do it. That's, without a question, a foundation, a cornerstone of a Jewish faith. This is what many Nebuch lost Jews will come along and say, okay, fine, I'll grant you. God does want all these mitzvahs. But Rabbi, be practical. It can't be done. What's our answer? Yes, it can. In fact, the first rabbi said that to the people in his farewell speech on the last day of his life. He says, Ki korev elecha davar mayit. You can do this. Yes, you can do it. B'fichuvel vavchalas soisei. The Alter Rebbe wrote a whole book, a famous book called Tanya, to explain how could it be kikarev elecha. But it has to be kikarev. It has to be doable. And here Moshe Rabbeinu seems to throw a monkey wrench. Rashi puts words in Moshe's mouth with fly in the face of all of that, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, God may ask us for Mission Impossible, and then what are we going to do? So that's why I have to take your animals too. I mean, the Pharaoh should say, Moses, give me a break. This is the God you believe in? The God who asked you of things you can't do? It's a non-starter then. Then the whole business, it's the flight's aborted before it got off the ground. Then you're not going to be able to serve God. You never know what he wants from you.
Maybe it's a white lie, like a little fib, you know? Like he really wants this stuff, but you just, you know.
So, I mean, white lie sounds like a funny thing to say, but yeah, Ramban's approach and Abarbanel's approach, as I shared right before you walked in, was that this was a negotiating tactic. It's a tactic. He went to an extreme. He says, we're not taking our animals. Are you kidding? We're taking your animals. I said, Donald Trump didn't write the book. Moshe wrote the book. Make an extreme position, and then you'll get to the back down. But, I mean, that's a reach. That's a reach to say that Moshe Rabbeinu said something, but didn't really mean it. And Rashi doesn't feel compelled to say that. He says, we don't have to say Moshe Rabbeinu was using negotiating tactics. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. But that presents with an even bigger problem. How could such a thing be? How could that be? That's question one. Question two. Im omnam in ladas kam yivakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's indeed impossible to know what exactly God will ask of us. Oh, the numbers may be off the charts. So v'yitochen sheyidish v'nei Yisrael l'akav karbonis yesem ha-sheyesh b'yodim, it is possible, maybe God will ask them for that which they don't have in the hand. So in that case, ma'at yelz b'kach sheyivu es kol ha-mikna, then what will it help to bring all of the livestock? In other words, Moshe's complaint, his so to speak, his argument is, we need to take all of our livestock because maybe God will ask us for more than our livestock. Then why bother starting? If he may ask you for more than what you have, why even bother bringing what you have? The logic, if Moshe says he may ask us for everything we have, then I understand why a single hoof can't be left behind because, you know, he may ask us for everything we have. And therefore we have to give everything. But if God's going to ask us for more than we have, what will you accomplish if you bring everything? In fact, Moshe's argument self-defeats. These are two really big questions. So the Rebbe says, the Yeshleimar, here is the Rebbe's unique, fresh, and dynamic answer, never seen before. Sha'atshuva l'kach, that the answer nimtza b'lashon Rashi. If you look in Rashi very carefully, you'll see Rashi answered this question already 8 centuries ago. He answered the question when he wrote the Rashi. Really? He did. Look inside what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say, Shema yishol yoser mimasha yesh lonu. Maybe he'll ask us for more than what we have. He said, Masha yesh, yesh, masha yesh, biyodeinu. Maybe he'll ask us for more than we have in hand. In hand is the key. Omnam, move on, it is indeed understood. Sha'kodesh baruch hu l'yidresh mibnei Yisrael yesh mimasha yesh biyacholtem lahasik. God will never ask us for that which we can't deliver. Impossible. Avol yitochen, but it is eminently possible, behechlet. God may ask for what you don't have in hand. He'll never ask you for what more than you have in hand, more than you can get, but he'll ask you for more than you have. And you'll be able to get it from somewhere else. Where are you going to get it from? Who's going to give you more livestock? The bank? What are you going to put up as collateral? And the answer is, you can get it from the Pharaoh. He's so beaten down, he'll do anything to get you out of his land. Now he'll pay you to get out of his land. He'll give you the livestock. Shekemuvan hu rav le'in arech mimiknim ne'i sol. But the amount of livestock the Pharaoh had was inestimably more than what the Jewish people had. Shehoyu avodim v'lehoyu lehem rechushav. They were, after all, slaves. They didn't have much wealth. Divrei Moshe
boyim eifei. Didn't the livestock perish through all the plagues?
Ah, very good question. The livestock perished of the bad Egyptians who left the livestock out. But the ones who brought it in, they survived.
But even with the wild beasts and stuff, they didn't eat the livestock?
They didn't eat all the livestock. They ate some of the livestock.
not as wild as
they didn't eat all the people either. They ate some of the people. The words of Moshe come as a continuation. It says, Gam Ata. What's Gam Ata? I told you the Medrash Seichel says, Gam is your wife. Gam ata titim bidinus vachem velus. Mi acha shanachno nedem anavidas Hashem. Since we don't know what we have to serve Hashem with, you talk and try kodesh baruch hu. You stop it, mikdash abiyadenu. God will say it's not enough what you have in hand. The yidrei shanakriv gam mishalchog. Maybe God is asking us to get from you too. And here the Rebbe concludes with a marvelous lesson in avidas Hashem. Al derech remes. Yedua teiras al Baal Shem Tov is a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, which is brought in Hayom Yom on the ninth day of Iyar, that says Shalaha Adam Lul Meiterab Bavedus Hashem, that a person has a responsibility to learn lessons in serving God. Mikol Davar Shuhurei Hashem, everything a Jew hears or sees is a lesson, and that's called Avedus Hashem. Aveda is effort, strenuous effort. It's not necessarily an easy one. You're going to see something and say, "What does that mean?" Work on it, figure it out. There has to be a lesson. If you saw it, it has to have a lesson. Avedus Hashem. And this is even when it speaks about worldly matters. This is to be understood. Is it not enough to learn the lessons of the Chumash, of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, of the Medrash, of the Gemara, of the Mishnah? Is that not enough to learn? You say, Rabbi Baal Shem Tov, I have enough to learn from here to Wazoo. I could be busy all day and all night learning what's already printed. And now you want me to see, learn lessons from what I saw when I was in the bank? You want me to learn lessons what I saw when I went shopping? Come on, how am I learning lessons from these things too? I have enough time learning, a hard enough time learning the lessons that I'm already supposed to learn. I have to learn new lessons? And I have to learn them from Minyan Echulin, from ordinary mundane realities? This is what we learn from here. Le'itim, sometimes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mistapek b'kach shenaved yisod b'mashiyesh b'yodeinu. Sometimes, says the Rebbe, it's not enough to serve God for what's in hand. The Torah is in hand already. It's in hand. It's in the library. It's not you can find those books. That's already available. That's already ready-made as a lesson for you. And that's b'hiroz b'nyanim avedas m'furosh b'teresh b'yodeinu. These are the lessons in avedas Hashem that we have from all these thousands of years of Torah literature and Jewish scholarship. But Hashem says, I want more from you. I want more than what you have already in hand, what's already in your bookshelf, what's already a click away. Now I want Hudeirish and Nave, the son of Gambe, Mitzayis Mikneu Shopare. Now I want you to take the Pharaoh's livestock. I want you to bring that as an offering too. And these are the Heiros. These in our life are the lessons we learn. And that's how this is not only a lesson of or a teaching of what happened way back when, once upon a time, but in fact, this business of the Pharaoh's livestock being brought as an offering is a dynamic lesson in our lives today.